T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Kevin Witkos is a state senator. Before that, he was in the House of Representatives. Before that, he was a law enforcement officer. He was 14 years, Kevin?
28, Ray. Come on.
I'm making us all feel younger, okay? Kevin Witkos is with us. And, yes, you were for 28 years on the Canton PD. And we're talking about some of the things because you're the ranking senator on the Finance, Revenue, and Bonding Committee. And, you know, in that we've been talking to a number of people, this is far from over in that, you know, there are a lot of bills that are going to have to get paid. And what exactly is the situation? Because I know wisely we put a borrowing cap in place, but now are we up against it or what, Kev?
Well, what happened is the treasurer has to send a letter to the governor on a monthly basis stating where we are as far as indebtedness, our debt that's incurred. And we have a formula that we're not allowed to exceed 90% of a debt limit based on the budget. Okay. And right now, as of April 30th, consensus revenue, we're at 99.3%. However, the governor is driving the fiscal car of the state of Connecticut, but only is looking in his rearview mirror, not at the road ahead. And that's why I think we're in a collision course, because he's looking at numbers that the Finance, Revenue, and Bonding Committee adopted back on June 3rd in 2019. We have a state statute that requires the Finance, Revenue, and Bonding Committee, which, as you said, I'm the ranking senator on, that requires us every July 1st to adopt what we anticipate to be the tax collections in the state of Connecticut. Well, because of COVID, we haven't met. That doesn't mean we couldn't meet. So the governor is setting policy in borrowing on the state's credit card based on numbers from 2019. And everybody, all of your listeners know that our tax collections are way down. And so I think we're setting ourselves up for a huge, huge fiscal cliff if we continue to borrow against dollars that aren't there.
Well, the rainy day fund is pretty, has that been spent or is that still sitting there? It's $2 billion.
So that's still sitting there, but what's going to happen is once Comptroller Lembo settles the books, which is usually in September, then since the legislature took no action, we are running a deficit. All that deficit will be made up out of the rainy day fund, because we have a constitutional balanced budget requirement. So we have to make sure, unlike Washington, our budgets have to balance. And it's interesting, though, the governor has called for a bond commission meeting for this Tuesday, and there's over $1.3 billion that are going to be voted upon then. And I've said this here with somebody else yesterday, that is certainly going to put us way over 100% of the limit, and this will be the last bond commission meeting in 2020.
You know,
we won't have anything left to borrow, any room.
You know, I'm looking at all the things. Number one, and it's kind of good we're talking to John Larson here in a bit, but, you know, a lot of people I've talked to about this topic, because what else is there to talk about? But it's important. But the thing is, you know, there's a lot of people are expecting money from heaven. You know, the D.C. is going to help us make all this stuff up because they can print all the money they want. Even though I think last month they ran a $500 and something billion deficit. So, I mean, they're going to have to run the printing presses night and day. But, I mean, you can't guarantee that. So, you know, what are we looking at? Because you're right. I imagine income tax, with a lot of people having been laid off, nothing coming in there. Sales taxes, because people aren't buying all that much, at least some can't. You know, you got a problem with the incoming flow.
Absolutely. You know, the governor is hoping and is contingent upon his plan is that the federal government's going to send more money to Connecticut. But that money cannot be counted upon And what he has to do, and he's obligated to do under our statute, is to send a list of deauthorization bonding projects that haven't been bonded out yet. So we haven't borrowed the money for that yet.
Okay.
It's still
okay.
out there, and he needs to drop this level down. He's not done that only because he's playing cute. His office is saying, well, the Finance Revenue and Bonding Committee hasn't sent us new numbers, so we're basing ours on the numbers from 2019.
Are you going to send him the new numbers?
Well, at the Bond Commission meeting, it's not up to me as the minority party.
Ranking
it's
member,
up to
yeah.
the chairs to call us in of the Finance Revenue and Bonding Committee, host a meeting. We can do that virtually, except the numbers that we got that is from Comptroller Lembo's office, from Secretary of OPM, the Governor's yeah. Budget Office, and from the Treasurer's Office. So we have hard numbers that we can base this on, but they refuse to do that.
So in other words, this is kind of a technicality you're basing this all on. In other
right,
words,
but
I'm going by your last report, so things are hunky-dory.
Sure. All the numbers that, or all the members of the leadership of the Finance Revenue and Bonding Committee serve on the Bond Commission meeting, so we're scheduled to meet on Tuesday, and I will specifically ask them, why are we moving forward with numbers that we know are inaccurate and
yeah.
they're down by $2.5 billion?
Merry Christmas. And the other thing you have to know, and we should remind you guys, is that, in fact, you can't use bonding money for operating expenses. And a lot of those have been basically, you know, for example, you know, extending unemployment, the extra money we're sending. I mean, there's a ton of money. Kevin, can I ask you, can they bond to, in fact, operate schools? Because they're facing quite a challenge there.
Well, we've done before in the past. We've taken what was called TAR money, town aid, road assistance, and we used to fund that out of our general fund. But over the past probably 8 years, we've bonded that $30 million, so that it's not unprecedented, but I think that's bad money management if the legislature determines to go in that direction.
Because I'm looking at what they're going to have to do, and, you know, there are going to be physical changes. You know, there are a number of things that school districts are going to have to deal with. And, you know, even so now, it's not a lock as to what you're going to do. They're kind of deciding that now. And there are about three different plans that they can submit. But, I mean, the whole thing is, this is a mess, Kevin. You still glad you're in the legislature?
Well, you know, I am, because I think that right minds can think the right way, and we'll make sure that we set Connecticut on a path of fiscal sustainability. You know, when we passed the compromise budget, we put in the controls, as you mentioned at the top of the show, debt limits, various other protocols to make sure that we get our fiscal house in order. And because of that, Connecticut was on the upward trajectory of making our bills, and then COVID hit. Nobody anticipated that. However, we need to react based on what we're dealing with right now, especially the school districts. You know, I've spoke with several superintendents, several teachers, and people don't realize in the younger grades, the elementary grades, kids are taught in the cohort on tables. Well, under the CDC guidelines, no more tables are allowed in the classroom. So they've got to go out and purchase, you know, hundreds of desks, so each student has their own desk. Then they've got to worry about storage. So these are huge, huge capital dollar investments that our schools are going to have to endure. And we don't even know if they're going to be going to school in the fall. My hope is that they can, but if they don't, then this is money that will just be sitting there.
Well, you wanted the job. You got the job. So I guess, hey, by the way, are you on the Public Safety Committee as well?
No, but I am certainly following the police reform bill very intently.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
You know, one of the things in there is that the qualified immunity, that section has got to come out. And for folks that don't know what that means, is that a police officer can be sued in their personal capacity in a civil court for any action that they take in the performance of their job. And so I was talking with a prosecutor the other day, and he said, every single time you make a criminal arrest and bring somebody into custody, you can expect to see a civil lawsuit against the police officer. Just because, and then the insurance companies will settle out in that respect. So I don't think you're going to get quality men and women that want to do the job anymore.
Well, and what we're hearing, Kevin, we're hearing cops in, like, you know, for example, the hellhole that is Seattle. Too bad, it's a beautiful city. But we hear about, you know, the cops are just New York City, closer to home. I mean, the fact that apparently the cops are just kind of sitting back and let things, I mean, they're doing their due diligence, but, I mean, they're not eager to get out there and start, you know, going to the streets. It's tough.
One officer I was speaking with said that he will not respond code 3, which is lights and sirens, to a call anymore if there's a civil liability, if the civil immunity is removed in case he gets into a car accident. So imagine Kevin, if you're in a domestic dispute or a medical condition.
Well, that's right. We're going to send social workers. Okay, then. Kevin, thank you much for being on. We'll talk again, okay?
Always great to be with you, Ray. Take care.
All right. Kevin Witko, state senator, and he'll be working next week. We'll talk about that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.